Judges chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Now, just a word on the last five chapters of Judges, chapters 17 to 21. Without getting too technical about it, it could well be that these chapters really form a kind of appendix to the main work of the book of Judges. Maybe the main work of the book of Judges is now over, and these are just episodes which fit into the book of Judges somewhere. There seems to be a leading now into the next stage in Israel's history, when they have a king. If you look at Judges 17 verse 6, 18 verse 1, 19 verse 1, and 21 verse 25, you get the repeated chorus, more or less. There was no king in Israel, every man did that which he saw right in his own eyes, or as he saw fit, and so on. And it does seem to be preparation now for the time of the kings. So this repeated chorus would give that evidence. Judges 2, 10 to 15 is the prologue, really, is the summary of the book, how Israel went to pieces after the time of Joshua and the elders who outlived him. Judges 17, 1 to 6, whether or not that technicality is right, let's come to this passage. Let me just deal with it. Here is a man called Micah. He's living in the hill country of Ephraim. He's a man, I should say, in about his 50s, maybe more. And here he is living in the hill country. His mother is close by, and he has his own family. And what do we know about Micah? Well, the story is told in a very interesting way. It bursts in with Micah making a confession to his mother. We have a kind of flashback. The story is this, that Micah's mother had a treasure. She had a heap of silver. The weight is 1,100 shekels, verse 2. That's about 13 kilograms, a massive weight. And somebody stole it. And she issued a curse. And sometime later, it would seem to me, that this man, Micah, stepped up and he said, Mother, he said, you know that silver that was taken from you, about which you uttered a curse? Well, I tell you, I have the silver with me. I swiped it. I took it. I am the man who stole from you. And the remarkable thing about the mother is, what did she say? The Lord bless you, my son. He gave the 1,100 shekels back to her. She took 200 of them. She solemnly consecrated them to the Lord. Well, she's consecrated a lot to the Lord, it says in verse 3. And she gave it back to him. So he returned the silver. She took 200 shekels and had made, by the silversmith, an idol, an image, a god. And they were put in Micah's house. She was aiding and abetting her son in the fact that this man had a shrine. He had an ephod. He made an ephod. And this item associated with the work of the priesthood and so on. And some idols. And he installed one of his sons as his priest. No wonder. In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. What can we learn from this story? Well, what can we learn from it? Let's look at the mother, first of all. In this discourse, I'll speak on the mother. So, Micah's mother. What would you say about her? Here she is a parent. She's an old woman now. I mean, we're not told that, but seeing Micah has put his son in as a priest, say he's about 20, then Micah's about 50, shall we say, so she's about 70, shall we say. Right. These are rough guesses. She's an old woman now, she's lived long, and she is, what, weak and stupid. What else can you say about her? I'm glad she's not my mother, as it were. What a poor parent indeed. Her son stole from her. She's issued a curse, but no. Punish him? No. Angry with him? No. She blesses him. Indeed, she blesses God. The Lord bless you. She wants the Lord to bless him. And she blesses him in Jehovah's name. This is an Israelite woman, I ask you. This is a woman in the people of God. They have the law. They have the covenant. Idolatry is out of the question. The commandments are clear. The covenant is clear. And yet this woman blesses her son and gets God, or tries to get God to bless her son, for stealing and then confessing it. She is double-minded too. Not only weak and stupid and blasphemous, she is double-minded. She doesn't know whether she wants to curse or bless. Verse 2. Thirdly, look how she spoils her son. How kind she is. I put that in inverted commas. She sees no harm or danger or wrong. He's a good boy. I put it in inverted commas. It's all praise for her son. There is no criticism. The sun shines out of Micah. Now, I use that phrase. I have known it in my experience, my friend. I have seen parents who treat their son as though the sun shines out of him. I could name names, but I won't. A spoiled child, my friend, is a ruined man very often. This woman has spoiled her son, and the grandson is now caught up in it. A weak, stupid, blasphemous, double-minded, spoiling parent. And she encourages idolatry against the law of God, against God himself. Verse 3. She puts all in hand to make this idol. And it's all consecrated in the name of the Lord. I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord to make an idol. Can you believe it? Using the name of God in making idols. That's verse 3. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these are solemn criticisms. She actually sees to this idolatry in the name of God. He's already guilty. He's already an idol maker. He's already an idol worshipper. He's already got a shrine. He's already got priesthood going. He's already put his son into the priesthood. The mother and the son and the grandson are caught up in a web of idolatry and sin. And the story has far-reaching consequences. Chapter 17 of Judges is very short, but it leads into chapter 18. These sins, you know, cast shadows. What we do today can mortgage the future. There's a payback time, and it's all coming. There's one more point I would make about the mother. Is she a liar? I don't know whether it's 1,100 or 200 shekels in the end. It's all mixed up here. I can't trust her. She's a hypocrite. Is there greed here? Does she keep some back for herself? I don't know what's going on here. There's inconsistency. But this is perhaps the least of her sins. This encouragement of idolatry in the name of God. This blessing of her son for his sin. Oh, what can I learn from it? Well, I'm of that kind of age of this woman. God deliver me from spoiling my children and grandchildren, even at this stage in my life. That's my reaction, my first reaction. And I appeal to any brother and sister in Christ in that same position. Parent, grandparent, would-be parent. Do not spoil your children. Do not encourage sin. Do not break God's law. Do not break his covenant. It's revealed in Scripture. Israel was under the law of Moses, the Mosaic covenant. As believers, brothers and sisters, we're under Christ's law in the new covenant. The law of Christ is more penetrating than the law of Moses. The covenant of Christ is more precious than the covenant of Moses. Superior to it, better. Let us live to it. Let us learn from Micah's mother and not run with hares and hounds, as it were. Blessing sin in the name of God. Oh, what a condemnation. I also see the weakness, the corruption, the breaking of the law, the breaking of the covenant. These are lessons that are standing out proud and clear here. I want to heed them. And I know that sin can mortgage the future. Blessed be God for the truth that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's cast ourselves under the blood of Christ. And let's go on looking to the Lord to keep his word by his Spirit, obeying him. That's part of the new covenant, Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 11. The new covenant, the Spirit gives us a love to the law of Christ. Jeremiah 31, that law is written in our hearts. Let us live it out, brothers and sisters. Let us learn from Micah's mother What a weak, stupid, sinful, hypocritical woman she is, and how it all leads to disaster in her family and in Israel, as you will see in Judges 18. These are solemn words. I said at the beginning, the book of Judges is not the most pleasant book in the Bible, but it's needed today. We can be doing things today, individually, family, and in the churches, seemingly for God, in the name of God, but when we look deeply into it, not so deeply too, when we look into it, we can see that we are transgressing God's word. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Whatever their words, unless their actions suit their words, and under the law of Christ, they may profess all they will about Christ, but sin is what they're committing. Oh, I want to learn from this and turn from it and be a holy man. As Murray McChain said, make me as holy as a sinner as a man can be. Make me as holy as a man can be. May God bless these serious remarks. May they come home to us all. May the birds of the air not rob us of these things. May we be a spiritual, godly, sincere, law-abiding, Christ-law-abiding people under the covenant, the new covenant of grace and love and mercy and peace which Christ has brought in. Not of our works to save ourselves, but working now because Christ has saved us. God bless these remarks for Jesus' sake. Amen.